How many of us need second chances and new beginnings in our lives? We've all been there, haven't we? We all have been to that place of being in need of second chances and new beginnings in our lives. Perhaps some of us are there even today. We serve a God of new beginnings, a God of second chances. And like natural earthquakes, moral earthquakes don't just happen. They are preceded by tiny fault lines. Fault lines and little cracks that lie just below the surface that eventually, if not dealt with, they erupt into major moral earthquakes in our lives. And of all the entities in the world, no other organization is better equipped. No other organization than the church has the greatest opportunity in our culture to help bring about restoration. Restoring someone. That's what Paul is speaking about here. Restoring lives. Giving someone that new beginning. Giving someone that second chance that they don't deserve. God has blessed us with second chances because of His grace. He has given us what we do not deserve. Thank God for second chances and new beginnings. Ours, as the church of the living God, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, our work is a work of restoration. Ours is a ministry of restoration because it's never too late for new beginnings. What would happen if the church today began to be known as a place of restoration, a place of help, a place of hope and healing, where a place where those who were down could be lifted up, a place where those who were fallen could be picked up, a place where those who were lost could be found, a place where those who were out could be brought into the fold, brought into the family of God and included in the house of faith? What would happen if the church began to be known as a place of confirmation rather than a place of condemnation? The result would be that those with wounded hearts and wounded lives would begin to flock to our places of worship, our houses of worship, to find help, hope, and healing for their troubled souls. You see, the message that we have to share with the world, the message that we have to offer the world today, is that we serve a God of new beginnings, a God of second chances. He is more than able to restore broken and battered lives. He is more than able to touch us and restore us. And here in the book of Galatians, we find three very succinct steps to follow in the ministry of restoration and restoring such a one. This is important because we live in a world of lost and hurting people, family members, friends, acquaintances, neighbors, co-workers, loved ones, people we care about, people we know and people we don't know. Broken and hurting people are all around us. They're everywhere. What are we to do with them as the church? How are we to react to them as the people of God? What should our response be to a lost and hurting world? Well, first of all, we can see that our response should be that we are to hunt them up. We are to pursue them. We are to go after them. We are to have a desire to seek after the broken and the downtrodden. We are to hunt them up. In other words, there in verse 1, Paul says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in fault or trespass or sin or problems," then he points the finger back to us, "you which are spiritual." And he begins to tell us what our part is into trying to seek to help those that are in need, those who are in need of a helping hand, those who are in need of the blessings of God. He says, "you who are spiritual," talking to me and you, talking to the house of God this morning. He said, if someone is in fault, if someone has fallen into sin, if someone has tripped and fallen, or they've succumbed to temptation, or some problem in their life has overwhelmed them and overtaken them, then he looks to us, the church, and he says, "you who are spiritual." And he begins to tell us what our part is. You see, as the church, we must not ignore the world of people that lie in wait outside our doors. We must not ignore the world of people, many who live within the very shadow of our steeples, within a stone's throw of our churches, people who are hurting, people who are in need of the love of God in their lives. Oftentimes, we're inclined to write them off, to give up on them. But we need to be reminded that God never gave up on us, that God never wrote us off. Oftentimes, we want to wait for the fallen to come back to us. But I believe Scripture tells us that we are to be the initiators, that we are to pursue them, we are to seek after them, we are to look for them. The church must get past this false assumption that we, or that the fallen, will initiate restoration. Because the truth is that many of these individuals harbor a sense of guilt, a sense of shame, a sense of self-condemnation that prevents them from seeking the help that they need, prevents them from finding the hope that they need, and prevents them from coming to the Lord that they need. What are we to do, church? We're to go after them. We're to communicate the hope and the love of God to them, to each one. But not only are we to hunt them up, but what are we to do when we find them? I remember one time I went alligator hunting, and I was all excited to go alligator hunting, but I never really gave a whole lot of thought to, well, what would I do if I actually found the alligator? And then I came face to face with one, and I didn't know what to do. Sometimes you have to be careful what you wish for, right? So we're to go after people that are broken. We're to look for ministry opportunities, look for opportunities to share Christ with others. We are to look for broken and battered and troubled lives, but what are we to do when we find them? So not only are we to hunt them up, but when we find them, we are compelled to help them up. We have a call of God to help people, to help them up. There, the second part of verse 1, he says, "You which are spiritual, restore such a one." Restore them. Seek to restore them in a spirit of meekness. So we're to help them up. You remember years ago, some of you may not remember, but some of you might remember the commercial many years ago where the lady says, "Help, I've fallen and I can't get up." You remember that commercial? "Help, I've fallen and I can't get up." Well, you know, many people today spiritually are shouting that slogan. They may not be professing it with the words that they're saying, but the life that they're living is crying out, "Help, I've fallen spiritually. Help, I've fallen morally. And I cannot get up. I can no longer find my way. I can no longer make sense of life. I can no longer see clearly the distinct line between right and wrong." They're saying, "Help, I've fallen and I can't get up." And what are we to do? We are to be that helping hand as the church, as the people of God, that extends that helping hand in the name of Jesus and in the love of Jesus and offers to help them up. You see, we are to restore them. We are to seek to restore them. We are to bring God to people and people to God. That should be the basic premise of the church. There are a lot of churches out there today that have a lot of gimmicks and tricks, ways of the world to try to attract people. But yet, our basic premise should be being true to the Word of God and bring God to people and people to God. The Greek word katharsizo, which is translated in Mark chapter 4, is translated meaning mending nets. And as the church today, we are to be net menders. We're mending nets. That is, we're seeking to mend lives and bring lives, make lives useful once again in the body of Christ. That same Greek word also appears in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where it talks about taking a broken bone and perfectly joining it back together again so that it can mend and so that it can heal and so that it can become useful once again. There are a lot of broken bones among us today, in our congregations, in our communities at large, and across our nation. A broken bone is painful, and it's not very useful. It's got to be set back in place. It's got to be set properly so that it can mend, so that it can heal, and so that it can become useful once again. Some of us have had broken bones. What do? When we have a bone break, we go to the doctor. But yet, we have to understand that the physician does not heal the bone. He simply places it in its proper location, and then God, the great physician, does the healing. God does the healing. He brings about the healing, and that it takes time to heal a broken bone. But in time, it can completely mend itself. It can completely heal and can completely be restored and be useful once again. Well, that speaks to us this morning as the church and what our task is. Spiritually speaking, that is the church's job. You see, we cannot mend broken hearts and broken homes and wounded lives, but we can hunt them up and we can help them up and we can help them place their lives back together, place their lives back in order so that God can do the healing in their hearts and in their lives. It's God that brings about the healing, but we can be the instruments that God chooses to reach out to bring them in, to show them the love of God, perhaps for the very first time in their lives, to show them the forgiving power of God, perhaps for the very first time in their lives. And if we can help them set things in order in their life, then God can begin that healing process in their lives. So God does the healing and restores us within the body of Christ. That's the church's job. To help, God uses us as instruments to restore lives and to restore us to our proper place as the children of God in the body of Christ. But not only are we to help those that are hurting, to hunt them up, to help them up, but finally we can see that we are to hold them up. We are to hold them up. Look at verse 2. He says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." So we are to hunt them up, we are to help them up, but we must not forget that we are to hold them up. Once someone is helped, once we initiate that help, whatever that help may be, whatever form it may take, what do we do then? Is our work over? No, the reality is, then that's usually where the work really begins. You see, because ministry is a long-term proposition. Ministry is an ongoing process. It's an ongoing effort. We must continually stand by one another and hold one another up. We can use the analogy of rescuing a drowning swimmer. It's not enough to just swim out there to that distressed swimmer that's near the point of drowning. It's not enough to just go out there and place their head back above water and then let go and let them be. What are we to do? We are to hold their head above water. We are to take them safely to shore, and then we are to remain with them, assessing their damage or what their state of being is, remaining with them until further help is able to come and assist. So ministry is a long-term proposition, and so here we see that Paul speaks of bearing one another's burdens. It's not just a one-time shot in the arm boost, but it's an ongoing standing by one another and assisting one another and being there for one another to help hold one another up. Paul says in verse 2 to bear one another's burdens. And then in verse 10, he tells us to seek to do good to all men, to all people, especially to those who are of the household of the faith. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the family of God. You know, we care about all people, but there's something inherently special about family. The family of God, the people of God. We share a yoke, a bond that this world cannot comprehend. Because we all have the same Heavenly Father. Jesus Christ died for all of our sins. And we have placed our hope and our faith in Him. And because of that, we have been born again. We have been born into the family of God. So it's not enough to simply hunt them up, to hunt up the hurting, to help up the hurting, but we must also hold them up, prop them up, be there for them, to bear one another's burdens. Because the truth is that some burdens are too great to bear alone. Some of you have been there. And you've experienced some of those burdens in your life that were too great for you to bear on your own. Some of you have experienced that pain and that heartache. And we know that some burdens were not made to be borne alone. In the family of God, we need one another. God did not create us to be islands to ourselves. He did not create us to be independent beings. He created us first and foremost to be dependent upon Him and then to be dependent upon others. Whether we like to admit it or not, you need that person to your left, your right, to your front, to your rear. We need one another as the people of God. We need others in our lives. Thank God for those people that God places in our lives to help us bear those burdens in our lives. We are to bear one another's burden. We are to help one another. How do we do that? By praying for one another, by lifting one another up with encouragement and love. We are to point others to the greatest burden bearer of all, and that is Christ Jesus. Not only does the Lord help us, but He holds us in His nail-scarred hand with His untiring and unfailing love, and He never lets go. The Word tells us that we can cast our cares, our burdens upon the Lord because He cares for us. You ever feel like sometimes, well, no one cares, no one is interested in helping me share this burden? Let us be reminded that God desires to share that burden. He desires to lift those burdens. And let us be reminded that we have others in our lives as well that will help us to share those burdens in life. What a comforting thought for us to live by. What a comforting thought for us to carry with us, and what a comforting thought for us to share with others. As the church, we have been given the amazing task of reaching our world for Christ, of sharing the good news of the gospel. And if we're going to reach our world, we need to realize that this world is made up of people who are broken and who are hurting. And we, the church, have been called to work to restore them, to hunt them up, to look for them, to help them when we can, and to seek to hold them up. So why? So that they can find a new beginning in their lives. Because praise God, we serve a God of second chances, and we serve a God of new beginnings. And we are all living testaments to that truth, aren't we? There in verse 1, at the beginning part of verse 1, he says, if a man be overtaken in fault. The truth is there, it could have just as well said you church, who were once overtaken in fault. You who were once overtaken in trespass. In other words, when we had fallen, when we were in need of restoration, how did our Lord respond to us? What did He do when we were in that predicament? Did He wait for us to come crawling back in shame and guilt so that He could say, "See, I told you so"? That's not how our Lord responded, was it? That's not what we felt when we came to the Lord. No, what did He do? He hunted us. That is, He sought us out. He said He came to seek and to save those who were lost in Luke 19:10. And then what did He do? Then He helped us. He lifted us out of that miry clay, planted our feet once again on firm ground. And then He restored us to Himself. He redeemed us, purchased us with His very own blood. And He continues to hold us up today by His infinite mercy and love and grace. You see, we don't want to give up on anyone because God never gave up on us. Let us not give up on anyone because God never gave up on us. You see, you can't go so far that God can't touch you and bring you back. You can't fall so low. You can't sink so low that God can't touch you and lift you up and restore your life and to plant your feet once again back on firm ground. I wonder this morning, what about us today? Is anyone in need of a new beginning? Is anyone in need of a second chance this morning? Is anyone in need of restoration, in need of a touch from God, some burden, some heavy load to be lifted from your life? Here in Galatians chapter 6, we're reminded of three things. We're reminded, first of all, of our past, of our neediness before God. The Bible tells us to not let any of us think any more highly than we ought, because our righteousness is as filthy rags before God. So He reminds us of our neediness in the eyes of God. Also, it reminds us of our task, that the God-given task that He has given the church for us to reach out to others. And it reminds us that God never gives up on any of us, that He's always there. We can always call upon Him. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. We may feel all alone at times in this life and in this world, but God is just a prayer away. And He never gives up on us. He always stands ready to restore, to renew, and to redeem us back to Himself. Here in Galatians chapter 6, Paul says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you, which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your precious word this morning. We thank You, Lord, that when we were undeserving, You extended Your hand of grace to us and You forgave us. You gave us a new beginning and You gave us a second chance. Father, some today within this place may be in need of restoration, may be in need of a new beginning, may be in need of a second chance. Father, some today may be bearing a heavy load that's too heavy for them to carry, and they may be in need of simply coming and kneeling at the cross and laying that heavy burden at Your feet. Father, whatever the need may be in our lives this morning, during this time of invitation, would You draw us to Yourself? Draw us to You, Lord. Lord, help us to come and kneel at this altar and to give it all to Jesus, to lay those burdens at Your feet. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.